This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Power at the point, trying to just get that to the net. Nice pass, Peterka scores! What a pass, and Quinn with the finish! Out of the corner, plays it back. Here's a shot, scores! Welcome Jacob Bernard Docker with a dart against his former team, ties the game at two. Benson in behind the goal. Zetterlund can't handle him in front. Thompson scores! Zach Benson does the work and Tage Thompson with the finish. 1:15 to go. Shot stopped by Reimer. Oh, he read that play perfectly. Reimer right there for the Buffalo Sabres as he steps up to make that stop.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just as everyone predicted in year 14 of the drought on March 26th of 2025 that James Reimer would be the best
yes,
Buffalo
sir.
Sabre on the ice.
Yes, sir.
In back-to-back
games. Two nights in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as we drew it up, Reimer, who they waived earlier in the season, got claimed, went to another team. They said, nah, we're good. We'll send him back. And he's their best player through two games, last two games at least. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off. Dave Geary is in.
Good morning.
That game was an interesting game.
Yeah.
They win.
They do.
They spoil Cousins' return. There's a tribute video that some people are upset about because it didn't give Cousins 100% of the real estate. It was split between Cousins and Dennis Gilbert.
Who? Just kidding.
Well, I mean, somebody might be asking that question. He is from Buffalo, but he played in... How many games do you think he played in for the Sabres?
Nine.
It was more than nine.
14.
Let's see, 25.
Okay.
25 games. Yeah.
It's 25 games in era. What would we call that? Would we call it a window?
Not an era.
The Dennis Gilbert window?
It's the Gilbert. It's smaller than an era. I feel like it's also smaller than a window.
Than a stay? What about a stay?
It's the Gilbert segment.
Ah, the segment.
The segment,
yes,
maybe.
Segment, literally, because 25 games, you know, we go, our segment goes 25 minutes.
Yeah.
There it is, Joe.
Era is a long time.
Era's, I think, years.
The only thing above era is like eon.
Decades.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. span.
The Gilbert span.
Do we care for real? Do we actually care that it was a little weird, right? I probably wouldn't have made that decision, but the Sabres create a tribute video that they played during the break, as they would often do when a player's back, and it's Cousins and Gilbert for Ottawa. Cousins, who was here for 5 years and played hundreds of games for the Sabres, and Gilbert, who was here for 1 year and played 26 games. And they was it 50-50 that they split the video? Or 75-25?
75-20.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable putting percentages on it.
Okay.
To be honest.
So we shouldn't care, right?
I feel like the fact that we are talking percentages is uncomfortable for me.
But. Yeah. The Gilbert trial, the chat is already...
Yes, they're fired up already. Love it.
Yeah, morning to the chat. Oh, man. You have no idea. The bullpen, they're in here yelling at each other before we've even gone on the air.
Buddy, after the show, I mean, there was a full tweet thread about, you know, who's going to win in our 40-yard dash race. A lot of good takes, some bad ones.
And a poll that is absolutely ridiculous that sees you 60% thinking you're going to beat me in a 40-yard dash.
I mean, people are realizing, they're like, you know, one guy was an athlete, the other guy hosts a radio show.
I was a recreational athlete.
Not
I wouldn't give myself more than that.
Not to be dismissed.
You know, I was on the varsity football team, but snap count wasn't very high. we'll go with recreational athlete, with that being said. We'll do that at some point. Give me a week. Give me a few days.
Yeah, we got to get you cleared first.
Yeah.
We got to get you cleared
first. I'm
not
risking my entire golf calendar on
I wouldn't
this.
Either. I went to the place where I go get stretched yesterday, went to PT. You actually,
he's already doing the work over here.
I impromptu scheduled a stretch and PT after the conversation yesterday, so.
I think random drug test maybe before we get rolling here. Aaron Ekblad recently had that happen. Let's do it. So we'll do it. We'll do it. We're going to do a 40-yard dash.
When I clearly win by, like, you know, a couple steps, people are like, Gary needs to get randomly drug tested. He's juicing. He juiced for the
40-yard
dash.
I don't even think that would help you, probably.
No. If anything, I think it's would add some water weight or whatever. You know? I don't need any more weight.
Anyways, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe, Nate in. We will get to a lot today. The Sabres game, from last night. It also, speaking of the Sabres, it's a fun little anniversary for the Sabres that we'll get to in a little bit. An anniversary that is near and dear to my heart, but that a little bit later on. The big news from yesterday, I think, well, you tell me. League-wide, it's probably that the Giants signed Russell Wilson. And that they are showing their desperation at quarterback. Which, fair, right? Like, well, is it even fair? They have Jameis Winston in the building already. Should they have felt like they also need Russell Wilson on top of Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
It's a weird move.
It's definitely a weird move.
When you already have Winston, at least.
And here's the thing, too, is I'm not sure it really takes them out of contention to draft a quarterback. But how about this? It shouldn't. If they liked Shedeur Sanders yesterday at 2:00, they should still like him this morning at 6:09. Like that, I don't think that should change anything. But
yeah,
I think what it does signal is they are in arguably the worst position of any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Outside of the Cleveland Browns.
It's those two. The teams that draft 2 and 3, they're really being punished because there's no second quarterback in this draft that is worth that pick. I saw a mock draft yesterday where the Giants actually trade back into the first round and grab Shedeur Sanders at like 27. There are some that think he's going to the end of the first round, at least. I haven't seen many that think he falls out of the first round.
I think a lot of people are talking Jackson. Here's the thing. There's a lot of... I wouldn't say a lot of momentum. I think, at least a notable amount of momentum that Jackson Dart looks like a guy that's going to get drafted in the back end of the first. Mm-hmm. I don't view Jackson Dart. I don't think there's a scenario where Jackson Dart goes ahead of Shedeur Sanders, right? I mean, I don't think.
Probably. I would bet Sanders goes first. Before the two.
I think for me, this is the tough part if you're the Giants, if you're Joe Shane, this is the tough part about the NFL is they had no choice but to I don't know that I love the way they handled the Daniel Jones situation, to be honest. That was your making, your decision, and then midway through the season last year when it was going predictably bad, you pulled the rug, and you didn't really have a good plan behind Daniel Jones. Part of this is not the makings of, or the, because of the lack of talent at the top end of this quarterback class. It's how they've, it's a little bit of how we looked at how the Bills have been building the wide receiver room over the last couple of years, is you had Diggs and Davis, and you didn't really backload it. You did not prepare for those guys moving on. And if you're the Giants, the Giants went into last season feeling like, okay, well, we just got rid of Saquon Barkley, and we're on Hard Knocks, and it kind of feels like the coach and GM are on a hot seat. They might not make it through the season. DeVito and a, you know, coming off
Drew
of an
Locke
ACL.
Was the other one.
Drew
Lock,
and then coming off an ACL, Daniel Jones. You guys, they had no other plan at that position. And then they come into this offseason, and the plan is, well, Rodgers. Rodgers is the plan. Holy cow. It's just so, I don't know. I guess I look at, and I should figure this, but, you know, the Brian Gain, you know, I don't know, era in Houston lasted 1 year.
Yeah.
It didn't go well in Houston for Brian Gain.
Yeah.
He comes back to Buffalo. Joe Shane leaves, and year one looks great. I mean, year one looked great for them. Did Dable win Coach of the Year?
Dable won Coach of the Year.
Okay. Yeah. And they went to the playoffs, whatever, with Daniel Jones.
And won a playoff game.
And won a playoff game. Since then, the roster building, the decisions, and to be honest, and to be clear, I think the right decision was moving on from Saquon Barkley. So I don't think that – I don't look at that as a negative or a takeaway for Joe Shane and Brian Dable, because I think that was the right decision. But I just – I don't know where it is a franchise without a direction, and it's been that way for a decade plus. And at least the Cleveland Browns, you can look at it and say, well, they really tried to go all in with the quarterback, and they got hoodwinked, they got bamboozled. Like, he was bad, and they signed a bad quarterback to a really large contract, and he hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Yeah.
That is, like, you could look at it and say, that is one thing, this dismantled everything. If Deshaun Watson was the Deshaun Watson of 5 years ago, I think there's a good chance Cleveland's pretty damn good. And you're probably overlooking a lot of why they did the move and what they did it in despite of, just because he's good. That's what happens in pro sports. But there's not really one thing, there's not one unraveling move that the Giants have done. It has been a slow bleed, and they had a one season, like, sample size where you thought, maybe Dable really can coach. Maybe Shane can do this. And now I think both, one of them, I think Shane's destined to be back here in a year, and Dable's probably going to be back in the offensive coordinator game. Dable's done enough to me damage to his professional reputation. I wonder if he's got to go back to the college game. I wonder that.
I think he would still get an offensive coordinator job in the NFL, but maybe. I agreed when they got rid of Barkley. This, by the way, this is funny. This was a preamble to the setup. We'll get to Diggs, too, in New England. But we did get rolling on the Giants here a little bit. I liked when they moved on from Barkley, and for the very same reason that Joe Shane said in that Hard Knocks clip from last year, which was, basically, we need to find out if our quarterback's good or not.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like that was misguided because he had been there for five seasons already. You should have a pretty good idea of how good Daniel Jones is after 5 years, and only one of them actually went that well. And it went okay. He was pretty much a game manager. He had 15 touchdowns and five interceptions the year that he was good and made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Low event football for Daniel Jones in the 1 year that he was good. You should have known, but okay, you want to go a year and really find out. So let's not overpay Barkley. We're going to give him neighbors. We're going to build up the offensive line. That's what they did. And it didn't go well. To your point, I think they should have known how likely it was that when we try to find out what Daniel Jones really is, that it's not going to go well for us. We're going to find out he's not it, and We need to be ready with a plan of action to replace him. And they didn't have that. And then they got to this offseason, and they still didn't really have that. I've got a couple of friends that are Giants fans, and all they want is just Arch Manning. They want this team to stay at the bottom, and they want to get Arch Manning, or they want to get one of these quarterbacks at the top next year. Not to rush it now and pick Sanders or to pick Jackson Dart or whoever. But here's the thing. I actually feel like with Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston at quarterback, I don't think they're great. But that team could win 7 or 8 games.
100%.
The roster is not that bad. There are holes, but there are good players around
the roster.
You're
better off going with Tommy. This is the conundrum that franchises like the Giants face, which is what is middling accomplishing?
Right.
What is you? Because it feels like the coach and GM are lame ducks.
I think the one of them probably has to win, right?
The coach, you could be more than the GM.
Yeah, but if they won 5 games this year, I don't think Dable survives that. I think Shane could. Shane could get another kick at it.
Shane could.
Another coach hire.
To pick a quarterback.
No, he didn't. That is really why I wonder about it. They haven't got their own guy. You know, I tend to think, reading about the Giants and just thinking about how Shane and Dable went through it here. Shane was here. Dable wasn't here yet. He comes in at the end of this, you know, sequence. When the Bills make the playoffs, their first year with Tyrod Taylor, they did not get hung up on, we should re-sign him. And even as a bridge quarterback, that wasn't in their plans. It was, no, we're trading him. We're trading him away immediately because we're moving on to our next guy. We had a good game manager, and we need to be better. The Giants, Shane, Dable, they would have gone through that experience and known, just because we made the playoffs with a guy that throws 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions does not mean we should lock ourselves into that guy for the long term. And then what did they do? They locked themselves into that guy for the long term. That's where I tend to think that was a lot of ownership. Ownership wanted to keep Daniel Jones.
That's right.
And that might be a big reason why they're not fired right now. Because the owner knows, I stuck them with that guy. I'm not going to fire them because Daniel Jones sunk them. I'm going to give them another shot at it. But that's what they're trying to figure out right now. What if there is no other shot at it? What if there is no quarterback that you like in this offseason? Do you take Sanders just because, well, that buys us time? And we'll see if we could figure him out. Shane deep down might think it's better off for this organization and for me if we sit here at the bottom, we play, you know, Drew Lock at quarterback, Tommy DeVito, just a nobody at quarterback all year long, and we win 4 games, and then we're at the top of the draft next year, and that's when we make our pick. And he might not do it because he's not sure he'll have the job by then. That if that sequence plays out and they do only win 4 games, no matter who's at quarterback, I'm not going to be the guy making that selection. Very interesting context and circumstance to where they're at. So they get Wilson probably just to win as many games as they can this year. And good luck. That's that division now with the Super Bowl champion Eagles and the Commanders, who look awesome. And that's the quarterback you might want over anybody else in the NFC right now.
And the Cowboys will be better. I mean, they're going to have Dak Prescott.
Dak's back. Like, that's probably the toughest division in football.
I forget that Brian Schottenheimer is their coach. Holy crap.
In Dallas? Yeah. Yes men. They love their yes men in Dallas.
Unbelievable.
So, Wilson to New York. So, that definitely locks in Rodgers to Pittsburgh, right? There's nowhere else he could go,
well,
right?
I
he could retire.
I saw something that said maybe he waits. Maybe he just pauses everything, forces things to play out a little bit, wait till after the draft, and see where Minnesota is again. I mean, he wants to play in Minnesota.
So Minnesota called Tannehill, right? That's the report.
Yep.
They probably want a veteran guy next to McCarthy. Not just because McCarthy has never played. He also has this injury that he had surgery on and then had a setback in the middle of last year, had to go in for another surgery. But is Rodgers the type of guy that they want next to McCarthy all next year? If you're Minnesota, I could see why that is just does not sound like a good idea at all. What would be, to me, be the funniest outcome right now of what's left is Rodgers leaving the Steelers at the altar and just deciding, you know, he's a quirky guy. He's a weird dude. He might just decide, you know what? I'm good. I'm done. I'm going to walk away. I had an Achilles injury a couple years ago. I played one more year. I came back. I'm fine. I'm done here. So he walks away, leaves the Steelers at the altar for nothing left, really.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. Wilson's gone. The Giants grabbed two of them, Winston and Wilson. And I don't know where else they would turn. It's got for them. Rodgers almost gains leverage on Pittsburgh because, hey.
Oh, he certainly gains leverage.
You're not, the Giants are gone, but you're not bidding against the Giants anymore. Because Wilson is off the table, you now, here, you're going to pay me $35 million or else I'm leaving. I'm retiring.
Yeah.
And then good luck with Mason Rudolph as your quarterback this year.
Right.
So Steelers might actually be put in a tough spot. The other team that we'll talk about today at 8 o'clock, Jonathan Peterlin's going to join us from The Fan in Cleveland. You said before we got going here, or maybe you did, it was on the air, that the Giants were the most desperate team, worst quarterback situation in the league, and Cleveland's the other one, right?
Yes.
Because right now, their opening day starter, the favorite is probably Kenny Pickett. He's there.
Is that right?
He's on the team.
Who else is? Right? Jameis
Watson,
is
but he's not.
They
he's...
traded, they traded what's his name for Pickett.
They traded who for Pickett? Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, the kid from UCLA.
DTR.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. It's just Watson and Pickett. That's their roster of quarterback right now. Watson and Pickett.
Yeah, so.
It's going to be a staring contest between Cleveland and New York in this draft. Who's going to be the desperate team that takes the quarterback that might not be worth the second or third
pick? I still think, whether it's day of draft, June, Kirk Cousins is going to be in Cleveland.
You got Cousins in Cleveland?
There's no way Atlanta hangs on to him. They don't really have another backup, though. That's the thing. Well, don't they have...
They'd have to sign somebody, I think.
Don't they have, what's his name? They used to play for... Washington?
Heinicke?
They might have Heinicke.
I think he went somewhere else.
Did he?
Yeah, Kansas City.
Okay.
I think.
We could, listen, if
no,
they need...
No, Minshew went to Kansas
they
City.
They need a slightly used Mitchell Trubisky.
You know what we need here? Once upon a time, we had the quarterback big board.
Oh,
we
had
all the backup quarterbacks of the league.
Sure.
I might need that, because where is Taylor Heinicke right now? Is a great question.
Where in the world is Taylor Heinicke?
He is not in Atlanta. It's Penix, it's Cousins, and it's someone named Emory Jones.
Oh, Emory, yeah.
Taylor Heinicke is on the L.A. Chargers.
Okay.
Still?
Oh, that's right. He's their primary backup now.
Okay. Yeah.
Over
he re-signed there?
Over what's his name?
Billy Volek.
Jeez, what a name. No. I was thinking, well, now...
They have
now,
another backup?
Now you're getting
Easton
my...
Easton Stick,
but you just unlocked like some backup, whatever, like the little spot in my brain that holds information about like old backup quarterback names.
Yeah. Maybe I'll put together some backup quarterback trivia later and we can.
Billy Volek.
Some quarterback. Backup
it's not
quarterback
as good
rando.
As Charlie Whitehurst, though. Because
those
that guy
are both
aura.
Good Charger backups.
Aura. He had the wide sleeves.
Yeah.
The one wristband. Like just the aura with the grizzly beard, the long hair,
yes.
the cotton chin strap, the oh my god! Just,
I do believe he has a nickname. I'm gonna go to Pro Football Reference because
the workhorse from
no. Well, you're about to Dylan Cousins.
Whitehurst.
Name. No, that's not the nickname. Oh yeah, here. Okay, so it is official. It's on his reference page. Charlie Whitehurst's nickname is Clipboard Jesus. Clipboard Jesus.
This show is going to be electric today.
Yeah. We'll get some backup quarterback rando in a little bit later on. The Sabres win last night over the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa fans losing their mind, I saw on social media last night, that they have lost. They lost all three meetings to the Sabres this year and scored one goal at even strength in those three games. Ottawa did. So the Sabres get the win last night. We'll chat about that. There's an anniversary for the Sabres today that I want to get to. And... get your phone calls on this, 803-0550. Stephon Diggs to New England. Two-part question. One, do you care enough to be mad at it? And two, does this change your opinion of New England at all? I am thinking a lot more about... Diggs is only part of it. New England and their ability to challenge the Bills in the AFC East. I still don't think it's coming around the corner.
He doesn't move the needle for me
all. Well, let's get to that. Because New England, I like him a lot from early last year in Houston. It's just, does he have that left after ripping his knee apart? We'll get to that. 803-0550.
If Charlie Batch was throwing him the ball, maybe.
And you can mix in your backup quarterback, Rando, throughout the day. We might just mix it in into every conversation that there is.
I mean, that would be a very John Kitna thing to do.
Oh, here we go. Off and running. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Plays it back. Here's a shot. Scores! Welcome Jacob Bernard Docker with a dart against his former team. Ties the game at 2. The Canmore Cannon let it rip, and the game is tied.
Jacob Bernard Docker scores against his former team. Congrats if you had him anytime goal scorer last night. Dylan Cousins does not score.
He did not. I convinced everybody. We had a golf league yesterday last night. So I got there right around 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I convinced, I don't know, 9 guys
yeah.
to all put money down on Dylan Cousins' first goal scorer and then anytime goal scorer.
Yeah.
And luckily, I left before the end of the game. So they couldn't yell at me.
I also watched that game from a golf simulator.
You did. That's right.
The old dojo. Mm-hmm. I That was that same question was asked in the room. Cousins anytime goal to plus 240, right? I'm like, no. That's no. Sucker's bet.
And here I am, the sucker.
Plus 350 is what he normally is. He's plus 240 just because he's playing against the Sabres.
Yeah.
Bernard Docker would have been a lot longer odds. By the way, that was one of your moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Can I say that I think I'm ready? 12 games left? 11 for the Sabres?
It is... Sure.
I would... Let's say...
it's one of the two.
I like 12 because it's a even number. And it's a dozen. It's got a word.
It is 12, by the way.
Okay, it's 12. Perfect. I need to see 12 games of Zach Benson with Tage Thompson.
Yeah. Great pass to set up the game.
But it's
goal.
Not even... It was the entire shift.
He dug it out.
It was just the whole shift. And then there was... A couple of other moments in the game where he's just, is he not exact? I would say this, he is one of one in terms of what they have on the team in terms of roles. There isn't really anybody that goes to the areas that Zach Benson's, which we've known for a little while.
Yeah.
He gets in front of the net, he wins battles, he seeks contact,
mm-hmm.
and he, although he's not the fastest skater on the ice,
mm-hmm. That I do think is improving, by the way. I'm noticing his speed more than he was back checking on the penalty kill.
I noticed it yesterday too.
Yeah.
I also think they need to find and this might just be, you know, did Krebs sign a 1 year, right? A qualifying offer 1 year?
Yes, I think so.
I need Kozak in that position full time. Fourth line center. That's what I would like to see that as a full time solution. But
yeah.
My point being I think part of the reason everybody talks about Benson's numbers not really matching a lot of the underlying.
Krebs is a 2-year deal, by the way.
I think just as he's not playing on scoring lines. He's not being asked to play on scoring lines.
That's part of it. That's definitely part of it. He is very, very curious to me. I love watching him play. It's incredible to me how smart a player he is at his age.
Yeah.
His hockey sense, his spacing, he is always in the right spot. It is unbelievable to me that player who is NHL edge stats, who all the player tracking, in the middle of the season, there was a chart of like the slowest players in the NHL, and he's on that list.
Yep.
One of the slowest players in the NHL right now. And he is 5'10", 170.
And
that might
be
generous.
5'10 is generous.
Yeah. So I've got a guy that isn't big at all, isn't fast, and he makes the impact that he does. Right, he's not putting up points. But I was looking the other day for Locked On Sabres, looking at Ryan McLeod, trying to figure out like what his next contract's going to be. And what's the story about Ryan McLeod? He's scoring more this year, but why is he here? He's a great defensive center. So I go to Evolving Hockey. I'm looking for like some advanced stats on his defensive game. So I go to Even Strength Defense, which is one of their ratings on even strength, just how you are, your defensive impact at even strength. And I'm looking for McLeod. And before I can even scroll down, I haven't even categorized it by Buffalo yet. It's the whole league. And their Zach Benson is the eighth best defensive forward in the entire NHL. Like a spot above Barkov. 98th percentile for his defensive numbers on that front. And that's not surprising. That lines up with what we're seeing defensively. But right, he's not scoring yet, and he's not putting up big points. I do think some of that is probably who he's playing with. I do think some of that is he has got to get faster and bigger.
Yeah.
And when he gets stronger, I think his shot would probably get a little bit better, and then he'll be able to finish more of these chances.
Not convinced he's ever really going to be like a perennial 20-goal scorer. I think he could be more like in the 15 to 17 goal range every year, but be a guy that gets 45 assists.
That's why he's curious to me. I don't know what to make of his ceiling. I think you're probably, what you just said is probably more likely, that he's not a perennial 20-goal scorer. Maybe he's a 50, 60-point guy because he gets a lot of assists. I still feel like I want to be open to him being like an elite forward, though, because he is that good when it comes to all the extra stuff. But he's not going to get to what I'm talking about, like a point-per-game player, unless he gets way faster and way stronger. And he's 19, so that could happen. That's why I think he's very, very tough to predict right now. In most instances, he hasn't played in the NHL yet. He's only here because of his brain, basically.
Yeah. And that's the thing you really don't teach. I mean, I also...
Yeah.
He is... They
joke about it on that there was a... the Sabres do, like, they're mic'd up, whatever, during practice. And, like, a month ago, they had Benson mic'd up. And he's, you know, in the middle of the clip. He's standing in front of the net, and Joki Haru is chirping him like, oh, you're gonna tip that puck with your hockey IQ? Like, the guys on the team know about his hockey IQ, and they're ribbing him about it. So... I don't know. I don't know what his ceiling is. I want to believe he could be a top-line player, though. And as soon as next year? You might not want that, though, because you need this team to get going. And do you want to put the 20-year-old on the first line, or do you want to have somebody else that you've acquired in the offseason?
I just would like to see what it... And I think it was it Kulik, Tage, and him yesterday?
That was the line, yeah. Yep.
Is that an ideal first line in the NHL? Probably not, but... I don't know.
It could be in 4 years.
I'm also really interested in what Kulik's going to be. He's struggled to stay consistently on the ice with injuries this year.
Yeah.
But man, when he's in the lineup, he's also looked, and the move to center has been really good for him.
Yeah.
That's a young line.
These are the types of conversations, though, I don't want them having right now.
Because they can't keep having these conversations.
Because this is the same thing they've been doing for at least 5 years, which is, oh, we don't need to go do anything major in the offseason because all these young guys are going to do it. Kulik's going to take a step up, and Benson's going to take a giant step up. I am confident and hopeful that that's going to happen for at least those two right now. But we had the same conversations 3 years ago about Jack Quinn, J.J. Paterka, and Dylan Cousins. And, you know, not a total strikeout. Paterka looks great. He's scoring every game right now. But
Paterka just has these like blocks of games where he just goes completely cold and completely quiet.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's plays in 65 games this year. He's second in the team in points, first in forwards in assists. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think he's a very good player.
I think he's a very good player.
But
I think in what we're seeing is what we saw a lot of last year, which is just so much tweaking and moving of the lineup. And I'm not here to tell you that I don't think other teams do this, even the really good teams do this. But there is at least a semblance of continuity throughout your lineup. You're not switching all three guys around all the time, but that's injury has forced that a little bit. But I think JJ, I would definitely say Jack Quinn, but there's other things going on with Jack Quinn. With Paterka, isn't he a little bit a victim of he just hasn't had a consistent line mates that he's building chemistry with?
Well, his consistent line mate was Cousins, actually.
Well, it was Cousins. I feel
Cousins
like it's more
for
Tuck
3 years, and now, right, it's being a little more mixed. Maybe it's going to end up being Tuck more often. That too could be a factor, that the two guys that were lost in the wilderness were always together.
Yes.
Quinn and Cousins. They were always together. They were always the most common line mates of each other when they played. I don't know. I don't know what to do with him. But
this team is probably going to end up with, we'll see what happens over the next 12. Maybe they end up with 230 goal scorers. What a change this is from 2023.
Yep.
What a dramatic change. I mean, they had, what, five guys that scored 30 goals in 2023? Or is it six?
They had a few. Skinner did it. Thompson did it. Tuck did it. And Cousins did it. Did Olofsson do it too? Olofsson got like 28. That's probably it. That's still double from what you had. Lindy, by the way, getting his 600th win yesterday.
Olofsson had 28, Cousins 31, Skinner 35, Alex Tuck 36, Tage 47.
Okay. So Lindy gets his 600th win yesterday. He's the second coach, 600th win with the Sabres, excuse me. Second coach in NHL history to win 600 games with one organization. Have you thought at all about, I thought about this a little bit yesterday because of the milestone that he got, about what do you think whether he's going to be the coach next year or not?
Did you hear his quote after the game?
No.
He got asked, basically, do you want to be back? Like, are you going to come back?
He got that question yesterday?
And he basically said, I think that, I can fix anything, and I think that's what's made this season so disappointing.
He said, I really want to get this right.
Yes.
Okay.
So I would say he's back. I almost think universally, even
if
Adams
is
not
the GM,
I think he's here.
I think you're probably right. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to get to Diggs and New England. Change anything for the Patriots in your mind, or is it just unveiling maybe some dormant New England? They might be on their way. We'll get to that when we come back here at 7 o'clock. A little trivia along the way as well too. We got our backup quarterback fixing so far. We should have to name at least one backup quarterback in every single segment today.
Yeah,
so I will go.
We need
with
some trivia. We need like a list of.
Yeah,
career backups with the high with the most touchdowns.
A certain list that has a guy like Charlie Fry on it.
Yep.
For instance.
Oh, yeah.
803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
Van Riemsdyk's going to gamble now with Washington down by one and just over 4 minutes to go. Morrissey retreats. Van Riemsdyk is still up in the play. Lost his hockey stick. Nice pass. Ovechkin, yeah, scores! Alex Ovechkin, 889. Washington 2-2.
Six away. Ovi is six away. That goal was to tie it.
Didn't quite get the hat trick we were hoping he would get last night that he could get another hat trick tonight or tomorrow, I think they play, and then they play the Sabres Friday.
Yeah. No, he didn't score a hat trick. Some guy named Jack Eichel scored a hat trick last night, I think.
Who?
The Capitals now 102 points, by the way, on the season.
Crazy.
That also is as incredible. We'll get to football. The Capitals were old and declining, and Ovechkin, it was all about the goal race. It was all about just going for his record. And not only is he going to get the record, if not this year, at the very early stages of next year, they're also number one in the NHL. They're in first place.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he's maybe the biggest reason why. He's on like a 50-goal pace.
He missed a month.
Right.
Imagine what his numbers look like if he doesn't miss a month this year.
He'd have it.
Oh, he has
He has 36 goals in 55 games. He'd have it.
Unbelievable. And last year it looked like, all right, the age is finally catching up to him. And then he switched to, like, Coke Zero, and now he's just, he's back to being the man.
Is he more incredible that he's doing it like this because Well, like you said, maybe he took this more seriously this last offseason, but all the guys that are aging like and playing this well this
like
late.
Fine wine.
Yeah, like Brady plays into his 40s and he doesn't eat strawberries or drink beer. And LeBron plays into his 40s and it's because he spends $1.5 million on his body every year and like everything is geared towards keeping that thing right. And Crosby's still playing well, but it's the conditioning is off the charts. And here's Ovechkin, who kind of looks like he's aged.
The last of a
lot.
I'm going to say this. Ovechkin is the last
like
of a dying breed. The athlete that smokes cigarettes on the sidelines and drinks beer out of a Gatorade bottle in the locker room between periods. Like, he is the last of the image I'm sure our parents have of, like, Kenny Stabler on the sidelines. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just – it's a different era of sports and conditioning. We know more about – And what makes it so impressive is Ovechkin is doing this in the era where it's not when Gretzky did it, when, you know, let's be honest, they weren't the most highly tuned athletes.
Correct.
That's what makes it to me more impressive.
In comparison.
I mean, I don't need the six more goals to need me to convince he's the greatest goal scorer ever. I mean, he is. Point blank period. Greatest goal scorer ever.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for a little while.
Yeah, for me, it has been a while.
The stats just put the stamp on it.
He has 11 games, it looks like, left to score 6 goals. He's got Pittsburgh in the final game of the season. I continue to think that's the... How do you want him to do it? Do you want it at home and not care about who the opponent is? Do you want an empty netter? Or, like, I am...
Definitely don't want an empty netter.
See, I've been warmed up to that because empty netter from like your own zone eliminates the possibility of a review altogether.
Yeah,
you can't challenge for offside because he hasn't entered the zone, and you can't challenge for goalie interference because there's no goalie.
I kind of just need a patented power play left dot
from his office
smoke show slap shot.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
and the patented celebration and the entire team, and then a bunch of stuff's thrown on the ice. Like that's.
Yeah.
That's how I'd like to go down.
And at home would be pretty cool. He only has 4 home games left.
Out of the 11 they've got?
Yeah, a lot of road games. They play the Sabres on Sunday, and that's not going to happen.
Okay.
So, really, there's 2 games he could do it at home at, because he's probably not scoring 6 in the next 4. He could, but he's probably not going to. So then you've got Carolina on April 10th, and then you've got Columbus on April 13th. And if it doesn't happen in one of those two, it's probably happening on the road. It could happen in Pittsburgh, which would be pretty funny. His rival of his career. But I think the moment would be pretty cool if it did happen in Pittsburgh. The handshake with Crosby after, and you get the photo you want, at least. But I think they'll probably want him to do it at home. 803-0550, the phone number. Okay, when we come back, let's get to Diggs and let's get to the Patriots. How much does it change them at all? Or were you already thinking about them challenging in the future against the Bills? Because they got some things that are going pretty well this offseason. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.